Welcome to Design Downtime, the podcast where we celebrate the joys of living a balanced creative life. I'm your host, Guy Siegel, a design director in Toronto, Canada, and I invite you to join me on this journey as we redefine what it means to be a successful design professional. Let's break free from the shackles of hustle culture and embrace the full spectrum of human experience, because life is too precious to be spent only in pursuit of productivity. Today, I'm delighted to talk to Bahar Espiritu. Bahar is an award-winning designer and internationally recognized artist, a visionary leader, and an honorary Marquis Who's Who listee, celebrated for her innovative contributions to design systems and brand development at Amazon Prime and Amazon Web Services Cloud. Her work has been instrumental in creating user-centric experiences that merge technology and art, delivering scalable and inclusive solutions for global audiences. Currently, she serves as a creative director at Essence of Hockey, where she continues to push boundaries in art, design, and storytelling. Bahar, welcome to the show.
Hello, Guy. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. And today you want to talk about fantasy novels.
Oh, yeah.
You were super excited when you suggested the topic. I remember your face lit up.
I love it. I just love storytelling, and fantasy is something that has been with me since I remember, since I was like 4 or 5 years old. So when I love your show, you know that I love your podcast. And when we met, I was like, oh my God, I love to come on your show and talk about fantasy novels. and I'm here.
Wonderful. So you kind of like led me already to the first question, the origin story. How did you get into fantasy?
I spend my summertime with my grandmother, and it was like 3-4 months of summer. And, you know, like it wasn't like now that you have like all streaming TV and games or no. It was a lot of like human touch. And so my grandmother, she like, hope that she rests in peace. She passed away when I was 9 years old. But like when I was 4 or 5, she would tell me these amazing stories. And the funny thing is that she wouldn't read from any books or, you know, no, it was all from her memory. She would just make them up on spot. And she would just like tell me every single night before bedtime. She would tell me like these stories that was, you know, like my grandmother was Iranian Persian, and we call it afsane, which means it translates into fantasy. And it was all, you know, everything that I loved from, you know, hustle and love and goal and dragons and phoenix. And then I was mesmerized, and it would just put me to sleep, and I would just dream all the greatness. And that's when it started. That was kind of an input. And then the output was the next day, because I couldn't read or write yet, I would paint them. And then that was just, you know, it was my fantasy. That's where it started.
So what sort of stories did your grandmother tell you?
Oh, it was everything. And I'll actually tell you a funny story about the stories. So it was usually about this hero that would go on an adventure to find something, you know, whether it was love or freeing their country or, you know, finding a, you know, some potion for something. It was always something in search of something. And my grandmother usually had the hero of the story to be a guy, a man, a male. I remember one night I asked her, hey, grandma, why is it always a man who is the hero of the story? And honestly, I swear to God, she had the epiphany of, oh my God, she's right. Maybe I should change it. And the funny thing is that she changed the story. So then the hero of the story is a she, is a woman. And since like that night, she never changed it. And the funny thing is that everything changed so then it matches the female, you know, who is the hero of the story now. And then my paintings also changed. So now I was painting all the sheroes, and I was like, oh, I like this. This is cool.
The beginning was stories from your grandmother, and you were painting those stories because you didn't have the ability to write yet. When did you get into reading books?
I started reading right when I was like in my first grade and started reading, and I remember that, you know, just like regular books at school are just not enough anymore. I think my grandmother ruined me. And so I wanted to read novels. And I remember I started reading like the easy ones that I could find. So at school, we had some literature that we were studying, and I just right got into them. Like, for example, Shahnameh, which was it's called the Book of Kings, which is written by Ferdowsi. And it's like, goes 3,000 years back. So and I was just mesmerized. It was like a Persian literature, and I love them because it has all the epic Iranian mythical and historical stories of like kings and heroes and demons and gods and Simorgh, which translates into phoenix, right? So that's where Phoenix was born, from Shahnameh Ferdowsi. And then I got into more books that were like for my age, appropriate for my age, which was like, it was like 1001 Nights. Like, again, like older books, and then Vishen Raman. And then I think the first one that you probably recognize is The Hobbit. And so I started reading Hobbit, and I actually did not with The Hobbit. I started with the Lord of the Rings trilogy. So I started reading Tolkien's books, and this is back in high school. So I started like reading those books because they were not easy for me to read in like elementary school. So I did have them, but I just really probably did not really understand them. I started reading those. And then after that, I read The Hobbit. And then when The Lord of the Rings was out, I was like, oh my God, you know, like years later, I watched that, and I was like so happy about it. Also, these other books that you probably are familiar with, like Alice in Wonderland and the Harry Potter series. This is like back in the 90s.
Everything you mentioned, maybe the ones in Farsi were not as popular here in the West. I mean, other than 1001 Nights, I think that's something that has gotten into popular culture enough. But of course, with Lewis Carroll and with Tolkien, sounds like the sort of the common ways of getting into fantasy. Was fantasy something that you gravitated towards from the start?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like this is something that pretty much all the creatives love. It's, again, maybe I'm assuming, but I think that the normal routine everyday world is not enough. You want something more. I even got to read some of the like fiction, love story, like, you know, that those kind of books. And I was like, okay, yeah, nice. But I want more. I wanted the dragon and the gods and the myth and, you know, all those crazy things that comes with it. And why I like fantasy is because it kind of against all the rules of the world, right? It doesn't have that physical boundary. You can be anything you want. You're like, if you're a god or goddess or you're a hero of the story, then you have these powers, right? And the funny thing is that I usually don't like those heroes that have all the powers. They usually start being very weak or sick, or, you know, they've been affected by the cruelty of life at some point. But then they overcome that and they find something, they find their strength, which might not look strength to others, but they are. And then they leverage that for the better for others and for themselves. And I think that's why I love fantasy, because I can relate to that so much. Like, you know, from like in my childhood, I wasn't the strongest or the fastest, or, you know, I was very quiet. I was a very quiet child. And like in the classroom, for example, I would be always the last one who was picked. But then I started like understanding, but I'm a creative person. I can design, right? And so these fantasy novels kind of helped me to understand that and to help me move forward with my creativity. And it really helped me in life, I would say.
Was there any point where living in those fantasy worlds was not good, was not seen good by others, or people said, hey, why are you wasting your time with this thing?
Oh, absolutely. Still to this day. I mean, like, they're like, I had a conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and they're like, how many chapters do you read a day? I'm like, prep like 10 chapters a day. Like, what? When do you have the time to do that? I'm like, if you really love something, you'll find time. Yes. It's like, to them, it's like, oh, gosh, come on. Like, you're just living in your fantasy. But they don't understand that that is really filling my cup. You know, that is really keeping my creativity alive. Because stories without fantasy, they're just stories. They're cool that you listen to them. But stories with fantasy, they trigger your imagination. They trigger that better part of you. And I was like, yeah, this is what I like. I like that. And that's why I like fantasy. And that's why I don't listen to them. Yeah, sure, they can say whatever they want, but I would still do it. And I'm trying to get my son to do that, to read more fantasy. I think I started like 3 years before what his age is now. He's 7. So I started like when I was like 4 or 5. But I feel like it really changes you. It changes you. You look differently to the world. You can see beyond of what it is. And it keeps you motivated and keeps you interested in everything that you do.
You've obviously had a strong connection to both the words, the story itself, and the visuals that bring that to life. Do you have any relationship or connection to the art that's inspired by fantasy books or the visual representations of that?
Yeah. So here's a cool thing about fantasy. When you read it, it really, a good novel, a good author, when they are writing the book, I have a lot in mind, like George Martin of a Song of Ice and Fire series, like that's Game of Thrones, or Rick Riordan or Lewis Carroll, you know, just a lot of, you know, the recent ones. When they are good in writing, the way that they write, you can almost see it. And the fun thing is that like a contemporary art, they don't really define it to the very detail, but they define it enough so then you can have that imagination. And so I think, especially as an artist, as someone who loves to paint, when I'm reading them, I can imagine what that scene is like, or what that character looks like, or what that city feels like, or that situation, or that dragon. So, and that at some point, you know, like I still do have my paintings from like back in time when I would paint it like the next day. It's funny because every time in every stage of life, when I was painting those, they might look different. Maybe the phoenix when I was like 5 or 6 years old looked different. And then when I painted those in like when I was 9 years old, so it changed. Because it's, again, it's like a beautiful contemporary abstract art that they are kind of painting with their words.
The world of fantasy novels is huge. And a lot of times, fantasy itself is more of a setting, more of a possibility than a specific thing. There's a lot of subgenres within fantasy. What are some of the ones that you're more attracted to?
So recently I've been into like Rebecca Yarros and Sarah J. Maas. So these are basically dark fantasy, slow burn, I would say. Like this is like, they are famous as being slow burn, long fantasy. They're like really long series. Not to me. They don't look long to me because I just cannot put them down. They're so good. But yeah, there are. So recently I've been like really drawn to those kind of fantasy novels. In the past, I would say maybe story of gods, like gods and goddesses. But now recently, a lot of loves and dragons and those kind of stories. And I love the fact that the hero of the stories are women. It usually starts with a woman who had a lot of troubles in their childhood. And now they actually use those, leverage those to be like this perfect hero. And then they're kind of saving others' lives, you know, a nation. So yeah, those are the ones that I'm into these days. Like ACOTAR would be one. I just, you know, finished them. There are like 6 books of ACOTAR, and it stands for A Court of Thorn and Roses by Sarah J. Maas. Beautiful literature. I read Rebecca Yarros' trilogy. The fourth book is going to be out soon as well. So those are the ones that I also read. And recently I read Quicksilver, and I'm still like reading that. I haven't finished it yet. And I think between everything that I read so far, I really love Quicksilver. I cannot put it down. I'm having a hard time finishing it because it's such a great story. I don't want to give a lot of spoiler alert, but it's a, again, as I said, it's a dark, gritty, suspenseful romance that blends psychological tension with fast-paced action. And so these are the things that I'm into these days.
Are those the things that are kind of like the elements that you look for in a good fantasy book?
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially if you're like a should I say like a fantasy expert? If you're like a fantasy expert reader, those are the things that you want, because it's not enough. Like you want more from it. And yes, you definitely get what you want in those books.
You mentioned gods and goddesses and the world of mythology as having a big influence on the themes and the content within fantasy novels. Do you also see fantasy playing a similar role to what mythology played in a history of people, which is modeling what is right and wrong, modeling what is the sort of the behavior that we should aspire to? Do you see that similarity?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, if you get deep into, like, these fantasy novels, like mythical books, you see that a lot of these heroes are, like, usually breaking rules that should not be there in the first place, right? But they want to do it not because of their own good. They want to do it for others. And that is something that you probably see in everyday world too, right? There are people that do that, but they're all demons too. They're demons that are doing things that they say it's good for you and, you know, this and that. I'm not going to get into it. But it's not really. It's just for their own benefit. And you see that in those fantasy novels all the time. And I want to give you an example of like one of the things that I always loved about, like, for example, like reading these older, like classic fantasy novels is that they're timeless. So if they are good, they're timeless. And the characters are reused in other books. Like I would say Phoenix has been used in a lot of, you know, like movies, fantasy, like whatever that you like, sci-fi. And Phoenix is this bird who like kind of burns itself to be reborn, right? So maybe to us that's so cruel, like why do you do that? But it's all of our it's the old understanding, it's the old thinking that the bird is killing. So then when it's born, it's a new thing. So in your life, right, let's say that you want to go from one career to another career. And so you have to kind of, if you want to advance, you have to kill someone in you. You have to kill some things in you in order for you to be born again. So see, like that is a really great example. And again, there's so many of those examples, but that's just the simple one. And it goes back to 3,000 years ago when Phoenix was born in the fantasy of Shahnameh, which is the Book of Kings.
You're not the only person who loves fantasy novels out there.
I think I am, but sure.
I mean, there's probably two or more people who read them. How connected are you with the community of fantasy readers?
I'm very connected. I am part of some of the book clubs that goes on. There are some Instagram groups that I'm part of. I love when they rant about something. I don't really get too political about it. I don't get too, you know, that some of them are so like hard dive or like those, you know, oh my God, what just happened? And they're like, talk about it. No, I'm just for the story. I'm like, okay, yeah, great. Yeah, okay, so this happens in this chapter. Love it. Let's just move on. Let's see what happens next. I am looking forward to what happens next, but I don't really get political. I don't get into like those discussions. Sometimes gets too heat up and I'm no, I'm just here for the fun of it. I'm not here to fight. But yeah, I'm part of a lot of communities. They have Discord communities. They have Instagram communities. And I'm part of a lot of those.
And having been a lifelong fan of reading fantasy, have you taken a stab at writing your own stories?
I don't write. I draw. But it has kind of given me ideas. I never thought about writing, to be honest. I never thought about actually sitting and writing. Maybe one day it comes to me. I don't know, but not to this day. But definitely when I read a story, when I read a novel, the first thing that comes to mind is that, oh my gosh, I just want to picture that scene. That was just the perfect scene of like, it was like a battle or like a love scene or, you know, I just love to picture those. So never thought about writing to this day, but you never say never, maybe one day in the future.
Let's say someone is listening to this right now and they never really got into fantasy. Maybe they said, you know what, I'm not really interested in swords and sorcery, or I'm not really interested in some of the things that I've seen out there. I would love to read a few books, but they're all 800 pages and they have 10 different volumes. What are some good ways for someone to dip their toe into fantasy and see if it's like sample a few different things within the world of fantasy?
First of all, because it's not your routine every day, I would say fiction, even 1,000 pages sometimes is not enough, because honestly, you cannot put them down. Like the story goes and then it gets to a point that you just cannot wait to turn the page. Like sometimes like I have to like kind of put an alarm and stop myself because I can't stop. It gets to a point that you get so interested and you want to know what really happened. I mean, I never watched Game of Thrones, and that might be a surprise to you, but I loved the book so much, and I read it like years before the movie was out. I love the book so much that when the movie was out, I was just against watching it because I was like, it's going to ruin the book for me. This is like the best thing that happened to me, you know, and it just, yeah, it changes you. It changes you. And so I would say that they should start with some of the kind of easy reads. One, I mean, like Sarah J. Maas's ACOTAR is wonderful. I mean, like, if you want to start there, I think ACOTAR is a really good start. And you see that it just kind of builds up like the first 70 pages. Yeah. But then it starts like really like hook you on, you know, on those stories as it goes along. So, I mean, you just need to start and see where it goes.
I mean, obviously the world of fantasy is very wide. Like you can do whatever you want in there. I'm curious to know what are some of the more out there or really out of the ordinary stories that you have liked.
Okay, so I don't know if you know Atarne Shaburi. This is again another classic. I'm going to give you a classic and a modern one. Conference of the Birds. It's a book by Atar. And it's basically a quest of birds seeking their king and filled with mythical fantasy. And the funny thing is that like humanizing them, but also having that like those bird powers of flying and going. So that is very different. Like it's, you almost like respect them for what they believe and they want to do. So I would say that was one of the things that it's always stays with me. And then years later, because this is a very old book, it goes back to 12th century or something. And then years later, recently, Coldplay they have a whole album on it. Yeah, on Conference of Birds. I mean, like that's actually one of the songs. And he sings about like Chris Martin sings about this. It's very interesting. So again, good stories. They don't age. They don't have time. They're timeless. They're boundless. I think being boundless and timeless when a fantasy book, I think this is about any kind of literature, to be honest, but fantasy, That's a hard one. If you can make a fantasy timeless, and if you make a character that is over and over used in other kind of novels and fantasy and genres, I mean, I think that's a really great one. And then the recent one, I think the recent book that I'm reading, Quicksilver, as I mentioned, it's like a dark romance. It's a psychological tension with fast-paced action that I'm reading. And again, like to give you like a quick summary, it's like about a woman sacred by her past, living on the edge of danger. And then suddenly she finds herself entangled in the world of secrets, betrayal, and like violent confrontations. And then she has to get out of that, right? And the way that she's dealing with all her problems is always very positive, although she is like really in a very negative situation and she's alone. She doesn't have anybody to help her. She's really young. So, but the way that she's looking at it is always with that, you know, positive outcome. You know what? I'll do this and that will happen. And that's going to be a positive. And then whether it happens or not, but I just love the fact that in the darkest time of her life, she's very positive. I love that. I love that. And this is, yeah, these are the things that has been kind of different from the classic point of view and the modern point of view.
That's awesome. Bahar, where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram at Bahar Espiritu. And you can also find me on LinkedIn. Again, my name, Bahar Espiritu. It's very pretty unique. So yeah, I'd love to connect up.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Of course. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This is all for this episode of Design Downtime. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, I hope you enjoy your downtime.